Welcome to another edition of Teaching Restored, where we get to talk all about how to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, one of our favorite things to do in the world. It is great. I'm Kevin Jones.
And I'm Julie Hilliard.
Yes, and Julie, it's the beginning of a year, right? It's not the very, very, very beginning of the year when we put this out, but it's close to the beginning of the year. And everyone's like, okay, now I got to get New Year's resolutions. Okay, one of my resolutions, like, I'm going to be a better teacher. I'm going to do a little bit something. You know, I don't know what your goals are, but.
Your enthusiasm, though, for the goals you just listed was like overwhelming.
Pathetic. That was good. But we want to be better. And so what Julie and I are going to do today. This may sound elementary. It's going to be so good. I'm just predicting this right now, okay? The Come Follow Me manual, when you take it and you read it, you think, okay, I got a teacher. I got to start studying D&C 1, right? Okay, you flip open to it and you read it. There's an introductory part to this that we almost always skip over.
To the whole manual.
To the whole manual. And we should not skip over this because the insights in there that we can gain are incredible. And so stay with us. We're going to walk us through sentence by sentence of the introductory manual and dive into what does that really mean? How does that change the way we teach? Does it free us from something or does it put more expectations on us? Does it kind of ruin the way we normally have been teaching and should we be teaching differently? I mean, seriously, when I went through all this, those are the kind of thoughts that went through my head. So we're going through this sentence by sentence. Again, it seems elementary, but I think it's going to be pretty cool.
So we might ruin the way you're teaching, but don't worry about it.
That's our aim. We want to ruin the way you're teaching.
No, we want to help you discover areas where you might choose to improve.
Good. Now, we have to also remember, we're not just doing like classroom teaching, but we're also doing family teaching. We're also doing missionary teaching. It's teaching the gospel in all of its facets.
So let me ask a question, though, first of all, because I've skipped that part. Every single year.
Every
single
year.
I don't know whether
year.
It's changed at
no.
all. It's exactly the same.
So I went through, I didn't look at every single sentence, but I went through and I compared it to last year and I'm like, it says the same thing. Now, might have they changed some things there? Yeah, probably. But it really says the same
thing.
In
essence.
Yes.
It's in essence the same introductory material.
Right.
Well, and it's like robust. It's got three categories.
Right.
So... like if you go onto your gospel library app, let's tell people how to find it. First of all, right? You go to Come Follow Me and it will list Home and Church Doctrine and Covenants right now, 2025. And when you touch that at the top of it before January, it says introductory materials. Mm-hmm. And then it's got trace, three of them, categories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where should we start? Should we start with the first one?
We're going to start with the first one. Let's do that.
Okay,
we're going to ask some great questions to help us.
Are we going to ask some questions like the questions that we've been asking the past couple of weeks?
Yes.
We're going to practice what we've been talking about?
Practice this. Yes. No kidding.
So good. Don't you love it when that happens?
I know. Makes me giddy. Okay. Okay. Let's do this.
I have a problem with the first sentence already.
Okay. Go ahead and read that first sentence then.
Okay, so we need to read the title, though, because you're right. Conversion is our goal.
Okay.
But is it?
Is it? Is it really?
Is it? Like, sometimes my goal when I'm doing Come Follow Me with my children is to get the material into their brains. Like to, I mean, I've got multiple. Can I just tell a really quick story?
Okay.
Just really quick. Okay, so here we are at Christmas, and we're having this little family home evening thing. We have a tradition in our family. My dad always prepares a lesson, and then we do the chimes. And we're doing the lesson, and he was quizzing all of the grandkids. And my brother and I were both like, please let my kid answer, right? Please let my kid know the answer to you. And my brother, like every time they'd answer right, he'd be like, yes, yes. And when they'd get it wrong, he'd be like, come on, you know this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel a little bit like it's a competition. The students teaching their kids the best. And so that kind of reminded me of that. Sometimes my goal with Come Follow Me and My Family might actually be to just get the material out. Which, by the way, we are still, because I did interview my children about Come Follow Me, like we promised several eons ago. Remember we talked about hard Come Follow Me and Our Family is? And I'm like, I'm doing some research. I've started. So we're going to have one on that pretty soon.
I'm excited to hear that.
Stay tuned.
Okay.
So I'll read the first sentence.
Wait, no.
No.
I have to disagree with you.
Conversion is our goal. Wait, what did I say? I didn't say anything definitive. I told a story. You can't disagree with my story.
You said, okay, so sometimes conversion isn't a goal. Sometimes it's me just getting the information in their head is a goal, right?
Sometimes, well, my goal, which is wrong. I'm telling you I'm wrong.
Okay. So you're saying you're wrong and that conversion is actually your goal? Are you saying that? Okay.
No. Okay. Strip away the sarcasm. You're right. I want my kids to have testimonies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're absolutely right. But sometimes I'm short-sighted.
We all are, right? I am too. I get it. But I think that getting the information into their head is a means to the goal.
To that end?
Yes.
Caitlin, let me ask you an honest question. Is the conversion of the people in your classroom actually your priority? Like, do you care about their conversion the way that you should?
Oh, what a great question, Julie. That is do you go into the class caring and thinking about their conversion?
Worried about that? Like, do you pray for their conversion? Like, when I'm praying for class, like this is just, you know, daggers are being stabbed into my own heart as I'm like asking the question.
Right.
Like my prayers when I'm getting ready, by the way, Kevin, I'm a little bit more mindful of looking into the camera instead of looking at you because you know, you pointed it out that I look at the screen more than I look at the camera. I'm trying to be a good co-host. The thing with my prayers before I'm teaching a class, I pray a lot that I'll have the Spirit. I pray a lot that everybody will feel the Spirit. So I think that that kind of counts, like I care about their conversion, but I have never actually given a lot of thought. I've given some, depending on who's in the class. I've not really said my prayer that whatever someone in this space needs to deepen their conversion to our Savior, Jesus Christ, help us to find it, help us to touch it, help us to get there. Like that's kind of that's a big prayer.
Foundational.
Yeah.
Don't you, I mean.
I should be.
I know I should be as well. Why? Yeah. Why aren't we? And how would that change our teaching if we did that? And if we focused on conversion, not the content. The content again is the vehicle, but where are we trying to get to? That it matters most. Why don't we think about that and have that at the forefront of our minds more than anything else?
I would do a lot of things differently if that really stayed at the forefront of my mind.
Agreed.
Big time. Look at the first sentence too, though. It says the aim of all gospel learning and teaching, we agree with this, is to deepen our conversion and help us become more like Jesus Christ, which is the fruit of conversion, I would say, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So really it goes to convert. You know what, Kevin, I want to look up conversion.
Really quickly. Good. I was hoping you would go there. Good.
So I'm going to. Just give me a minute.
Okay, I'll give you a minute.
Because I feel like I really, there was a definition.
What is your definition? Read once.
I can't find, it's not in my, it's filed. What?
Oh, filed in your mind?
Filed in my mind and I can't find it. But like, it was a definition based on a Greek translation of the word.
Okay. And so give me what you understand as conversion is right now without looking at it. What is your definition of the word conversion?
Come to change. I'm telling you, I'm being haunted by what this definition is. What's yours?
I would say to alter the state of.
To alter the state of. So change. Mm-hmm. Mine was a very simple word. You used a very to alter the state of physics word.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good, good.
Okay, because I think it's more than just change, because, for example, you could change direction. Oh, that yeah, doesn't alter your state.
Alter the state. Alter your actual, like the molecular state almost.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, yeah. I mean, if you think of to the conversion, if you think of that on a biological level rather than right. just a spiritual level, right? If you think about it as the word overall, it's not just to change, although it is, does mean that. It's more than just change. It's to, I see it as to alter the state of. That's
I love that, actually. That's a much better definition than mine. Even though my word is the first word in
the definition.
In the definition. It says changing one's beliefs, heart, and life to accept and conform to the will of God. Conversion includes a conscious decision to give up one's former ways and change to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Repentance, baptism for the remission of sins, the reception of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands, and continued faith in Lord Jesus Christ make conversion complete.
Gotcha.
So that is, natural
that was
man.
Not found, that was not found at dictionary.com. That was found
no.
In the Bible dictionary.
I went to study him. Yeah, but look at this too. This is what you just said.
Okay.
A natural man. Oh my gosh. I love this sentence so much. And I almost stopped right before it. A natural man will be changed into a new person who is sanctified and pure.
There we go.
Born again in Jesus Christ. That's what you were talking
right,
about.
Right. Right.
That's beautiful.
To become a new person. Okay. Here, you want to hear something crazy I heard? I got to give it out a shout out to someone that has to remain nameless. But I was having a good discussion with someone recently.
Okay.
And he said something. I was like, that's beautiful. That's so good. He said, we are the natural man, and a natural man is an enemy to God. We are not trying to create a better natural man.
Right. We are not trying to create a better natural man.
That's so good. I was like, oh, duh. Of course. That's so good. Of course. We're just not trying to make our natural man better. We're trying to be converted to alter
that
the state of us.
So good.
Isn't it? That beautiful.
Is so good.
So thank you, nameless person.
It reminds me of a conversation that I just had with my sister-in-law where we were talking about, like, we were on a walk while I was out in Utah, and we were talking about how our prayers are often for natural man things.
Yeah,
like almost all of the things in our prayers help us to be safe, help our food to nourish and strengthen our bodies, bless the dessert that we're about to eat at this church activity that it might nourish and strengthen us. What?
Okay.
Miracles. We're praying for miracles.
Well, obviously.
But you know what I mean? Like, keep so-and-so safe, no harm or accident will come to us. A lot of the things that we pray for on a regular basis are things that have to do with the natural man.
Mm-hmm.
And her comment was, and I took it one step further, but her comment was, is that, you know, faithless of us, are we basically asking not to need Jesus Christ when we're praying for things like that? Because that's when he comes, that's when he can intervene, is when we are having and this is the step further that we took it to talking about what if we were to pray for things that strengthened our spiritual man versus spared our natural man.
Oh,
how would your prayers change?
Oh my goodness.
And when you're thinking about that a little bit, that kind of goes back to what your friend said. If our goal is actually to become new because of Jesus Christ, because of our conversion to Jesus Christ, our prayers ought not to be that we will have a spared natural man, so to speak, but rather a truly converted spiritual man. And what are the things that we need to be praying for to make that happen instead?
So good.
Isn't that cool?
How would our prayers change if we focused on the conversion rather than, like you said, those natural man things? What would the wording of our prayers be like?
Man, oh my gosh.
You know what? I just want to stop right here because I've got so much to be thinking about myself. I don't know. Oh my
God. Do we need to give you time to think? Or
No. We're not going to stop here. We're going to keep going.
I know. Okay, but Kevin, think about this for just a minute.
We're 15 minutes in already.
Oh my gosh. Take it back to this, conversion statement at the beginning of the manual, right?
Yes.
And let's think about if we're talking spiritual man versus natural man, and we're, just now talking about our personal prayers and how we might pray for, how we tend to pray for a lot of things that are kind of natural man. And how would they change if we were to pray to find, and really think about this for just a second, because what I want to do is now take it to our prayers about conversion for our classes, for our children, mm-hmm. for the people that we're teaching as missionaries, et cetera. So think about your personal prayer for just a minute. And like, let's actually think of what are some of the things if you set aside, and I'm a very anxious person, so this is very difficult for me, all of the, please, Heavenly Father, keep my kids protected, keep them safe, help there not to be something horrible happen. Yes. You know what I mean? Set it all aside, which is an act of faith in and of itself, because Heavenly Father knows that you want those things. If you don't say them one day, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden those things aren't going to happen. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to continue to protect your kids. You're going to keep saying it sometimes, whatever. But fact of the matter is that without what in the definition of prayer, it talks about there are blessings that he wants to pour upon us that are contingent upon our asking.
Our asking. Right.
Right. So what are some of the things that you haven't thought to ask for before that you might think to ask for if your focus is your own spiritual development, your own spiritual man development? Does that question make sense?
It's an excellent, excellent question. I love
it. Is that an introspective question?
Oh my heck. When I stop and think and don't say anything, that's an introspective question. Well done.
So I've had some time to think about this because she and I had this discussion.
Okay, do tell.
And so I thought a little bit about some of the attributes of Christ that I'm working to develop, right? And so my prayers with a focus on those attributes, it's not just so that I have a more easy relationship with my children. You know, it's so that, for example, you know, patience, other Christ-like attributes that might impact my relationships. When I pray for them, I'm not just praying that we will have ease in our relationships, but rather right. I'm praying that I will change as a person, that when a situation arises, my instinct will be to act like Jesus Christ. And so sometimes my prayers could be, help me to see it. Help me to see that there's a choice.
Yeah, you know? That's good.
Help me to see that help me to see the path to be better. Or help me, you know, in the moment, like I know what's going to be happening today. I'm facing all of these different things. Help me not to get caught up in them, but rather help me to see your will. I make commitments in my prayer sometimes. Like I'm going to ping heaven. Like I'm going to be doing that throughout the day. But I just really need, you know, to have something stop me before I'm impatient, to have something stop me before I behave in a way that's not charitable. Think about the intensity of that pleading. Like,
right.
That's like, so you have to focus so hard to even come up with what it is that you're trying to develop. And that in and of itself becomes a conversation with Heavenly Father, right. I think, don't you?
Sure does. That's a totally different kind of prayer.
Yeah, for me it is, at least. I'm not,
right.
I'm a little bit rote sometimes.
Maybe everyone listening is at that level and they can do that so well. I'm not.
Me neither. But I think we can assume that there's at least one human.
Okay. This podcast is for one other person than
one
us.
One person wrestling down that natural man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. At least one. Isn't that interesting? What are some of the things that you would do? What would you pray for differently? And the reason that I want us to answer it is because I want to then try and say, how would our classroom, like, I mean, so I'll be super clear so you can think for just another second. But like, I think about if I'm going in to teach, right? And if I was to say, I have had this epiphany, I'm really focused on, you know, our goal in studying Come Follow Me really does need to be to deepen our conversion to Jesus Christ. And I am praying in my personal prayers that everyone in here in this space together, that this will become an opportunity for all of us to deepen our conversion. And so can I ask you that whoever prays for our class, that that's part of what we include? And see if you can put it, make it part of your culture. Like sometimes I'll say that to my kids. I'll say, you guys, we really need to be praying for such and such right now. And then they throw it into our family prayers and throw it into their personal prayers. I say throw it in lightly, but I really do mean it. Like it becomes something that's on our minds and our hearts. So why couldn't we put that onto the minds and hearts of everybody in our class and say, this is something, this is an intention that I want to like verbally set so that we can all have our minds focused in that direction.
Right. And that comes, I think, especially in youth classes, because it's so easy to go, oh, you know, youth are looking at the phone or talking to each other and everything. And if you start off saying the whole purpose of this is so we become converted to Jesus Christ, how can we focus on that? Can we pray for that? How can you, in everything that we say today, if we say it with an intent to help each other become more converted, how will that change? You know, I mean, that whole thing. Wow. Whoa.
I just can imagine the potential impact that could have. And obviously, you know, somebody could write us and say, well, you know, that's not going to work with my group. This is, you know, we're just fighting, keeping people off their phones or whatever, whatever. I mean, I know that there are a million caveats, but I also believe that when you have something in your mind, like you really want to involve whoever it is that you're teaching in that, that you'll figure out a way to do it. Like I know that I have a friend right now. I've been talking to her a lot about some of the struggles that she's having with her family because they have all left the church. And the hard thing for her is that she feels this obligation to bring, like to shine the light of the gospel in her home. And so as she is praying for her children, she's also praying for opportunities to be able to share what she believes. And one of the impressions that she's had lately is that it's got nothing to do with words. And so sometimes I think even when you're changing, like you're setting an intention and you're coming up with a way that this would work, it might look so totally different because sometimes all you need to do is deepen your own conversion. Yes. And then that light of it will actually shine bright enough to help others do the same. Like that you don't need to use words to set this intention is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Wow. So that what you made me think right there is of the adage of you can't lift someone higher than what you are.
Right. That's good. Right.
So if you are not thinking about conversion, not focusing on you being converted yourself, how can you help someone do the same, you know, be more than you? So,
Isn't that interesting? Because I think some of us would say in our minds, well, I am converted. You know what I mean? And then we put so much effort into aiding other people in their own conversion that sometimes I venture to say, and this applies to me as well, that we almost slip back towards meeting them where they are rather than trying to lift someone. You know what I mean? Right. And I'm not saying you're better than, not trying to elevate. Correct. You know, this is a very humility infused process in my mind. And so the way I phrased it kind of offended myself, but
I didn't know you could do that.
I know you totally can. I promise you do it all the time. I'm really good at it. That offended even me, but the idea that we really aren't elevating ourselves, but we are making sure that we aren't neglecting in any way, that we are fueling, that we are feeding our own conversion first. I'm trying to find that definition. I'm kind of glancing down once in a while because I want to find that definition.
So you find it. Let me say this. I go back to this all the time. And I've mentioned this before, but I think about this a lot. That in Teaching No Greater Call, the little booklet that we have for teachers, right? And in so many other places, I'm finding it all over the place. It continually talks about how do you be a great teacher or how do you be a great whatever? You convert yourself.
Yes, 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 yes.
That is number one every single time without fail. And we have to do that. And I think a part of it, you know, the whole lifting up thing as well. But if we don't have an understanding, if we don't have an outlook, if we don't have the viewpoint from higher, there's no way we can help others get to that viewpoint. Or I think those, whenever I am in a session with one of the apostles and I'm listening to him, I'm blown away by what they talk about, how they talk, and what they bring in. And I've tried so much to analyze it and figure out why it is. And what I've come up with so far is that they have a higher view of everything, and they can bring in just the right things at the right time. If I'm at a lower view, there are things that I can't see that are, I'll say, above, you know, just to use referential.
Right. Yeah. Words, directional, right? Reference.
Right. So there are things above me that I won't even notice are there or further out. But if I get a higher plane, then I can bring those things in. I feel like they're talking spiritually way higher than I am. Although the words they say and the concepts that they bring up are not complicated. And we've heard them before, but they're able to bring them in at the right point. And I think it's because they are more converted. They have studied more. They have prayed more. They have focused their lives on being converted. And they can see that much more clearly than I can.
I think, you know, as you're even saying that, I'm thinking about that higher, like, vantage point, viewpoint, sure, whatever you want to call it. And I'm like, So how do you get there? Like, how do you change? So let me draw this to, like, how do you get that kind of perspective for yourself? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I think you're right. That. When you're able to see things differently, I think that part of that is a change of mind. And so, like, when you, let me just read this. It's going to connect in a second, because I'm like trying to make it connect as I talk, and I'm not doing a very good job. I found when I was studying Alma, I'm looking for the specific thing and I'm not finding it, but I did just come across something. In the book of Alma, this is Alma chapters 23 through 29, and it's talking about the Lamanite converts from the missions of the sons of Mosiah a little bit. Mm-hmm. And when I did a little bit of kind of studying about conversion and what it means to be truly converted, and in Gospel Topics, which is not the one I looked at, I looked at the Bible Dictionary, it says, conversion includes a change of behavior, but it goes beyond behavior. It is a change in our very nature, which is what we alluded to earlier. It is a process, not an event. Conversion comes as a result of righteous efforts to follow the Savior. Mm. So behavior is a result of your directed righteous efforts. And then when I started thinking about, so then what changes your nature? And I think this goes back to a little bit the viewpoint, your perspective, your what you're able to see. Literally, like, you can't, you know how you hear that phrase, you can't unsee that?
Right.
I kind of think that sometimes you can unsee things related to the gospel, right? We have light and knowledge. Sometimes it could be taken away if we choose not to act on that light and knowledge, if we choose not to nurture it, if we choose not. And so I think that, you know, nurturing it, whatever, being able to see things differently, that light and knowledge literally has the ability to change us. And this is, Elder Bednar says, conversion is an offering of self, of love, and of loyalty we give to God in gratitude for the gift of testimony. Mm. Huh, that's kind of an interesting thought. It's an offering. So it's almost like an offering of how you think, you know, of yourself, of your will, you know, your giving of your love and your loyalty. And I wrote down, it's literally a change of mind and a change of heart. And how do you change your mind? You know? How do you change your mind? You see things differently. You come to see things differently. And I think that they didn't raise themselves there. I think that that is a gift of the Spirit when your conversion deepens, that you see things differently.
But you have to be willing and open and actually seeking that change of mind.
You have to offer yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you have to offer it up. Yeah. And see, I don't know if that took us off just a little bit. I don't know. I didn't really mean to do that.
I think it's right on. I think it's because we're talking about conversion is the goal, right? We're talking about the whole principle of conversion and how to become more converted. You mentioned somewhere in there, it was you read the definition of conversion from
Gospel Topics.
Read the sentence that includes the word behavior in there.
Okay, it says it includes a change in behavior, but it goes beyond behavior.
Okay,
keep going. It is a change in our very nature.
Okay.
That part?
Yeah.
It is a process, not an event.
Okay.
It's the result of righteous efforts to follow the Savior.
Okay, so say that again, that part right there. That's what I was looking for.
Conversion comes as a result of righteous efforts to follow the Savior.
So righteous efforts to follow the Savior creates conversion. Okay. So if we're going to be helping conversion in classrooms, let's say, what creates conversion? What is it?
Righteous efforts.
How much righteous effort can be done in a classroom?
That's such a good question. Very little. I mean, you can try and focus.
I mean, there's some little things we can do. We can try to focus. We can have a prayer. We can.
Yeah, but rubber's not meeting the road there.
That's right.
That's not where.
So if our goal is conversion and righteous effort creates the conversion, but the conversion, that righteous effort largely happens outside of the classroom, then what should we as teachers be doing?
Okay. So listen to this.
Okay.
David O. McKay. The greatest battles are fought within the confines of the human soul. So this makes me think about engaging in spiritual wrestles. Like, can we in our classroom help people come to a place where they're inspired, motivated, seeking to, or even mentally in our class, wrestling in a way that brings them closer to Christ, like thinking hard enough, or, you know, feeling the Spirit in a way that, like, I think what I'm trying to say is that we need to not dismiss. I get that a lot of the rubber meets the road stuff is not going to happen in that space. Mm-hmm. But like, I think about myself, and when I come into a class and I am struggling with something, even if it's just a bad attitude, right? When I sit in that class and someone helps to invite the Spirit can break down all my walls.
Yeah.
And so the teacher's not the person that does that. The teacher's the person that, like, is an instrument, a vessel, a facilitator. I don't want to, like, overstate the role of the teacher, but I can tell you that in a class where I have felt the Spirit and I felt the sincerity of the teacher, I am more inclined to engage in my bad attitude wrestle, even.
Agreed.
In that space.
Yes.
So I think it can start there. Like, you, what we're looking for is to, like, inspire something to happen later.
Yes. Okay. That is exactly what I was thinking of. And I agree that we can do some of that in the class, 100%. But if the wrestle that you're talking about, Julie, really happens outside of the class, what are we doing as teachers to help facilitate that wrestle? I mean, that sounds weird, right? We're facilitating a wrestle, but yes, and kind of a motivation to do that. So almost, if I'm changing my way of thinking about teaching, my goal of teaching in the class is to help them leave the class and go have experiences that bring them closer to Jesus Christ, right?
Right, because behavior doesn't change in the class.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Right? Because you're not behaving.
It's our righteous efforts. It's our righteous efforts. And that's going to happen out. So how can I facilitate righteous efforts outside of the classroom, or have them, you know, maybe if it, you know, if we think about the wrestle piece, maybe in class, my goal is to get them to wrestle with something they've never wrestled with before, and let them say, okay, go now, go out in the wild. And they leave the classroom with a mind going, oh my goodness, I have this wrestle I didn't know that I needed to have. And now I'm having this wrestle. Right. Good. Go figure that out. Go wrestle.
Go make some righteous efforts.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really what my goal is as a teacher then, is to help them have those righteous efforts outside.
Interesting because as you're saying that, so I kind of flipped back to this paragraph that we started with, right? Where it talks about conversion. And the next sentence says, for this reason.
We're getting to the second sentence?
What? I know, it's a miracle.
We're 35 minutes into this and we're getting to the second sentence?
I'm getting to sentence number two. I'm like, oops, well, moving right along.
Okay, next.
It says, for this reason, when we study the gospel, when we teach the gospel, I'm going to add some creative liberties. Okay. We're not just looking for new information or to disseminate new information, right? Mm-hmm. We want to become a new creature and help others do the same.
Yes.
This means relying on Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ to help us change our hearts, our views, our actions, and our very natures. And so in that vein, here's my creative liberty for that last sentence. I think it also means that we need to help other people see something differently, feel something differently, and be motivated to do something differently, which means that we have to make the connections between gospel doctrine and application. Mm-hmm. Like I'm thinking right now, for example, church history. Like we're going to be studying a lot of church history as we study the Doctrine and Covenants. And as I've kind of been framing this in my mind and how I want to look at it, I've thought there was something I came across. So Scripture Central has a podcast that is called Church History Matters. And this year they're taking on the Come Follow Me curriculum instead of just topically, like by topic, studying something. Like they've been taking on, you know, things about the endowment, the temple endowment, and about polygamy and about blacks in the priesthood and about some of those things that kind of rub us wrong or that we could potentially get a little tripped up on. And they tackle them head on.
That's great.
And so they said, we're now going to go through the Doctrine and Covenants, for example, and we're looking for a few things. And, you know, one of them is what's the context. So what's the backstory? And then one of them, they said, is where's the challenge, I think is what they called it. Cause they had like these different C's. So the context, the content, like actually getting through the scriptures, and then like, what are some of the challenges there? Where are some of the rubs? And I thought, what a great opportunity for us as we're studying the Doctrine and Covenants. We're studying things that historically we can relate to just a little bit better, right? When you're studying the Old Testament, it's a little bit tougher and you're like saying, oh, that was probably symbolic oftentimes, or, oh, you know, culturally at that point, the, you know, Egyptians did such and such, and the Hebrews did such and such, and the Jews did such and such. And like, there's kind of this, you study it and it's so distant. But then when you study about the prophet Joseph Smith, there's something so human too, that, and so near. And so when we're looking at studying the Doctrine and Covenants and we're thinking, okay, the Doctrine and Covenants literally is scripture that came as a result of questions that someone had. Well, part of my thought is, well, I need to be receiving more revelation. So like Joseph, I need to be asking questions. I need to be a seeker. You know, mine aren't necessarily going to be canonized, but like, as I'm approaching it, I'm looking for ways that the Lord answered his prayers. And I'm looking for way, like the instruction that he received and saying, well, that totally could be instruction for me. It feels less distant. And so part of this idea of helping people to change their views and change, you know, how we act, I think that there are so many easily translatable applications, if you will, like things that come from, here's what was just taught, the doctrine. This is talking about the establishment of the church, about how the church should operate, has to do with, you know, our covenants, things like that. That's literally the purpose of the Doctrine and Covenants, is to prepare us for the second coming of Jesus Christ. It says it in section one. And so, if that is the case, wow, this is relevant. And we got to be connecting those dots so that people can say, I need to be taking a higher view and considering Christ is coming. How am I going to live differently if I want to be standing in front of him?
Right. think about real. That sentence right there. How many times do we go into our class or we talk with our kids and we're thinking, I need to help us prepare for Jesus Christ's second coming?
Yeah.
And then sure. we talk to our, right? Of course, I do that every day. Every time I talk to my child, that's
exactly what I do.
Right. No, but might there be an element in there that's good that we have that higher view and start thinking like that, start talking like that? I mean, we don't want to be talking like a freak, right?
You don't?
Well,
sometimes it's okay. Depends, just right? kidding. Don't talk like a freak. Don't okay. do it.
But we need to be looking from that perspective. So when things come up, we can, I mean, we're not going to be, hey, what TV show do you want to watch tonight? Well, I was actually thinking about, you know, the second coming, and I mean,
my kids think that's how I talk. They right.
I know. I know. Isn't that true?
You want to watch a show? Mom wants to study the scriptures. Shut up.
So actually, yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe sometimes. So I love that last sentence in that paragraph. I mean, what, there are three sentences in here. Mm-hmm. This means relying on Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. First off, relying on them. How many times is our relying just, please help us be happy. Please help us to be good. Please help us. That's our relying, right?
How is your prayer going to change if you are thinking of relying in spiritual terms?
Right.
As your spiritual man relying.
Right. Have our thoughts always be turned toward him, right?
Yes. Yes. And I'm not suggesting that we come up with new rote phrases, like instead of please help keep us safe, our new rote phrases, please help us keep our thoughts turned towards thee. No, don't right. replace it with a rote phrase. Replace it with a like dig in phrase.
Right. Heavenly Father, I'm really mad about what Julie has said to me. It really offended me, and please help me to get over it. When that happens, Julie.
Yeah, when that happens,
how can, yeah. which has never happened, but how can we see that from the higher level and thinking about how we can rely on him to change, you know, how can I rely on him to change my heart rather than, oh my goodness, Julie, she's such a punk.
She's so rude. And like, do you ever spend your prayers justifying your feelings to Heavenly Father?
Maybe.
I have. Like, I've been mad at Todd before, and I'll say my prayers and I'll tell Heavenly Father all the reasons that I'm mad and feel justified in my anger. I mean,
sure.
Let's talk about how constructive. I'm not even kidding. I can tell you, I have knelt there beside my bed and felt like my prayers are ricocheting. When I get into wine dance mode. And so I will literally have like a nudge from the spirit that just says, time to change your mind. And I'll be like, all right. And reframing that to be, what can I do differently? Mm. What do I need to see? Help me. I've really been praying this lately. Help me to see things how you see them. Help me to like change my mind about this. Help me not to dwell on this thought. I want a new thought. I need a replacement thought. Can you give me one that's more informed? Right?
Right.
You know, it's interesting. It's so hard, but it's different.
You know, one thing I've been trying to focus on and work on in prayers is instead of saying, please help me, start to ask the question. Okay, for example, instead of please help me see this differently, it's how do you see this?
How do you want me to see it?
Right. Yeah. Tell me, because I need to know this. And I'll just have a discussion. Is it this way or is it this way? Or is it, what is it? But what is your way of seeing it? Show me that, right? Instead of just help me to. I think we get stuck on the help me to's, right?
Yeah,
help me
I to. Totally agree.
Right. Help me to do this. Help me to help so-and-so to be safe. No. How do we go deeper than that?
Right. That's a great, if we can get rid of help me too, think about how you would say that differently. Mm-hmm. I will ask the question, what do you want me to see?
That's
and
great.
Just kind of sit in it for a little bit. You know, that's interesting. I mean, it really does require a malleable mind though.
Yeah. And you can't be in a rush with that, can you?
You cannot be in a rush with that. And it's hard to not let your mind wander. Like if you want a mind that's going to be shaped,
that's mine.
It can't be a mind that's ADHD all over the place. That's hard. Like yeah. I don't necessarily always get my answers to prayers when I'm sitting there kneeling when I'm kneeling beside my bed, because my mind starts to go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And so what I really do have to do is look for it during the day a lot.
Right.
Like I have to be looking for it.
Kelly's great at that. Kelly can pray, get an answer like there. She's talking with Heavenly Father. Oh, really? Okay. I'm like, wow.
It's impressive.
I have a harder time doing that. I like you and more. Okay. I get answers throughout the day of different things, but it's rarely actually in the moment of praying, but she gets answers all the time while she prays. It's amazing. I don't know if that's a better skill that I need to learn or if it's just different and different is okay. I don't know that answer yet, but.
I want to answer that and actually say that pretty definitively different is okay. Do you know what I mean? So as you're saying this, I just had this thought pop into my head, and I really do think that this is from the Spirit, that part of what we have to remember is that if our job is to help people deepen their conversions, we can't say things in a way that becomes isolating for anybody. Meaning, like, we can't have prescribed ways that things are going to play out when we're talking about application, or prescribed ways that Heavenly Father is going to bless or going to, you know, speak to us or whatever the case may be. And there was this example, it was so, so good on Follow Him this week when they were talking about the first vision and the different accounts of the first vision. One of the things that the guy said is that we can look at Joseph Smith's experience and we can see different ways that Heavenly Father communicated with him and different ways that he received revelation, but that doesn't necessarily mean that our way is going to match. The principle is that God will answer our prayers. How he answers them is a very, very personal thing. And so if you, for example, are teaching in a classroom and you say, you know, do you feel it? Yeah, the Spirit is here. I feel it. Can you feel it? And then there are going to be people that are like, I suck. I don't feel anything. Right? Yeah. And that, it, just because you don't have the same emotional response that somebody else does to something doesn't mean that you are spiritually broken.
Right.
And so I think we do have to be a little bit careful. Mm-hmm. Like when we share our experiences, for example, say, this is how I experience it. And he said something so relatable to me, or one of them did. They said, you know, that I get, oh, I think it was John, by the way, he's like, I just have clear thoughts. That for me is totally how the Spirit communicates with me. Like I just still have a thought and the thought will be clear. And I will even sometimes be sitting in a class where somebody else is teaching and I'll have a thought. And I'll be like, oh, that was a good thought. And the thought will go away. And I keep trying to bring it up so that I can say it. And I'm like, oh, and I've learned over a lot of years that when I try and regenerate a thought, that it was just for me, that it wasn't to be shared. And then I end up messing it up when I go to share it.
Right.
Versus like, it really is this clarity of thought that I'm like, nope, that's from the Spirit telling me I should share it, kind of a thing.
That's good. Yeah.
It's so interesting, but we can't isolate people by how we describe those good experiences. Point.
That's a good point.
We don't want to interfere with someone's conversion.
No, right. Sometimes we try to, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, convert me, but not too much. I'm going to do it. Yeah. I need to convert my way. And that's just making the natural man better right there.
Bad idea. Bad idea.
Okay. So you know what? I think we're going to stop here.
I think we're going to have to take on sentence number 4.
Oh my goodness.
Kevin.
I told Julie before, this might even go into part 2. We got through a title and 3 sentences.
Good job, us. Actually, so let's make it sound even more cool. We got through a title and paragraph 1.
Paragraph 1. There you go. That does sound cool. But I learned a ton from it. A lot of things that I need to be thinking of for myself, but also as I teach my kids, totally different views of One is prayer, but how do I go into, yeah. and what is my role as a teacher? Is my role as a teacher to say, okay, this is what Doctrine and Covenants section, blah, blah, blah is about. And this is the background behind it. Not that that's bad by any means, but that's not my goal, is to get them to understand that. My whole right. goal is to help conversion.
You know, what's so interesting is that this actually brings me a lot of peace when it comes to come follow me in my house, because it is so not good. But when I can let go of my, sorry, when I can let go of my agenda and I just have a spiritual conversation with my kids,
yeah,
that is far more effective in their conversion than anything else. Like if they make a comment that derails me and we go off on something, why can't I chase their comments mm-hmm. instead of chasing my content? Like right. that's what I need to do. And if my goal is their conversion, I'm going to chase their comments. I'm going to chase their hearts.
I wish I could remember where this was from. I don't remember who said this. It was one of the 12, but he said okay. something, and I'm going to butcher this. Maybe some of you, oh. someone out there knows where this came from, but something along the lines of that he was in a classroom and this knowledgeable guy got up and blah, 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 and was obviously knowledgeable, right? Said all the right things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then this, I think it was a new, someone who just had just joined the church, didn't know much. Was not nearly as educated in the gospel, these gospel things as this person was, got up and just bore his testimony. And this member of the 12 said, that right there brought the Spirit in much more than the 40 minutes before it. And that was exactly what we need. That was incredible. And this man didn't know much. He really didn't know much about the gospel, but you know, I mean, I maybe am elaborating some in there, but that is it. It's not the content. It's the conversion. What we need to do this year is switch our C's. Go from content to conversion.
Well said.
Switching the C's. I think that's going to be my motto from here on out. Switching the C's.
Just make it the title. Make it the title of this one.
That's a good idea. I'm going to do that.
Switch your C's.
Switch your C's.
Do it, Kev.
Okay.
Done.
Thank you. Okay. We're going to
be continued.
A part two, part three, whatever it takes. This is good stuff.
I like it.
Thank you,
Let's
Julie.
Dig in.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time.